Amen. How many of you are you guys ready for the word of God today? Amen. Amen. We're going to be studying out of the word Matthew 7, 24 through 7 today. And the title of the message is Becoming a Wise Builder. Becoming a Wise Builder. And at this time, as you guys are turning there, I'm going to give you a little bit of background. It's coming out of the greatest sermon ever preached by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Sermon on the Mount. And in that sermon, he gives us Christians the way to live. You know, he teaches us how to pray. He tells us not to worry. He tells us how to love one another, you know, love your enemies. So he goes through these three chapters in Matthew on how to conduct ourselves as children of God. And he ends it with this scripture we're about to read in Matthew 7, 24 through 27. And Jesus sees it fitting to end it with this. He could have ended it any other way, but he realized, I gave them all this great information, all this inspired word, everything that I require of them, but now they got to take action, right? It doesn't matter what you hear. It doesn't matter how many great things we hear, but we need to take action from those words that we hear. Can I get an amen? Amen. Matthew 7:24 reads, it should be on the board, amen. Thank you, babe, for the slides. That was a good thing. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house. And it fell with a great crash. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you just that you've seen it fitting, Lord, to leave this last piece of scripture, Lord, to tie up the greatest sermon ever preached by our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. So we thank you, Lord, and we ask that you just open our minds and our hearts, Lord, that we may be inspired and we may be moved, Lord, and challenged today through your word. And all God's people says, amen, amen. Amen. So in this scripture, God is calling us not only to be hearers of the word, because how many of you know there's a lot of great sermons being preached, right? A lot of great words. We all have our pastors and our favorite preachers, and God is using people maybe to speak good words. You know, he used Brother Jesse right now to give a powerful testimony about his recovering power. And we hear these words, and we get moved and we get inspired, but what are we doing after that? You know, what are we doing? And today the Lord wants to nudge you or to give you, to challenge you to start implementing the things that you are hearing from God. So first you got to practice, right? It's not easy, right? I'm pretty sure, you know, at times it's not easy to do all God has asked you to do. So he tells you to practice these words, right? You're not always going to get it down right, but we need to make an effort and practice. So when you practice, right, sometimes you don't get it right. Sometimes you fail, but you get back up and you get stronger and you get better and you get better, amen? So God wants you to begin to practice, right? Begin to practice. How many times have you guys ever came to a situation where you need to implement the word, but you haven't been practicing, right? You haven't been practicing, and it's like, man, all of a sudden you got to go from 0 to 100 miles per hour to get past your problem or get through your problem. But from lack of practice, now you need the whole power of the word. So today the Lord wants you to practice his word, right? Then we got these two builders right here, right? Building. The two builders, right? Both knew how to build. Both had houses, right? You know, that wasn't in question, you know. Many of us are builders, right? We all carry Bibles. We all listen to worship music. We all hear word. We all take down notes. And it's hard to distinguish who are the wise builders and who are the foolish builders, because the only way that you're able to determine that is through the foundation, right? through the foundation. So the question is not that do you know how to build, but where is your foundation at? And the only way that this is going to be exposed is through the storms. It's through the storms, because both had the houses erected, both were in their, living inside their home. But when this storm comes, it begins to expose how each builder built or how they started building. And God says, right, if you do my word, you're going to build yourself a house on the rock, right? You're going to build your houses up. But if you don't do my word, it's going to be a little, it's not going to be so nice, right? You know, you're still going to have a house, but you're not going to reap the benefits of building it on the rocks. That's why sometimes when storms come, I say, no, I ain't going to act like the man that built his house in the sand. I ain't going to act like that man, because I built my house on the rock, right? So sometimes the enemy wants you to panic, right? Sometimes you're in your home, right? And you're like, I built my house on the sand, and you're worried, and the storm's hitting, and you're seeing the walls fall, and you're seeing the roof leak, and things are sliding, and you're uncomfortable, you're trying to patch things, you're trying to grab things, put up tarps, right? Whatever you gotta do, and you're uncomfortable, and you're not reaping the benefit of God, right? But how many know when you build your house on the rock, you're able to hang out in your chair, right? You're able to sip a cup of tea and just know and have that confidence. See, God wants us to begin to have that confidence in his word, right? We don't want to be acting like people anymore that build their house on the sand, because we don't, right? All you guys don't come out here in 100 degrees to hear God's word to be builders on the sand. I know you guys are here because you have built your house on the rock, amen? Glory be to God. So with that, it's easier said than done to tell somebody to be a wise builder or to not be a foolish builder. So how does that look? How does that play out, right? How do we go about being a wise builder or doing what God, implementing the word of God? And we're going to learn that from a man in the Bible who was considered the wisest man who ever lived. Does anybody know who that was? Solomon, amen. So we're going to turn to Solomon, and we're going to examine how he lived and how he implemented and how he was a wise builder and how he obeyed God's word and he did everything he had to do to accomplish the building of the temple that he had to build, amen, because he had to build God's temple. So we're going to turn to 2 Chronicles 1, 10 through 12. And at the time, David did all this glorious work for God, right? Everybody knows the story of David, all the ups and downs. He's a man after God's own heart, and he got so far to a point where God said, you know what? You're not going to be able to build my temple, but we're going to build this temple through your son Solomon. So God. So at this time, there's an exchange, and Solomon's entering into becoming the king, and he was the king, and now he has this task to begin to build for God, to begin to be a wise builder, to begin to implement the words that were spoken to his father and now landed on the lap of Solomon. So in 2 Chronicles 1:10-12, one of the things that Solomon did was a wise builder desires to help God's people. A wise builder desires to help God's people. In 2 Chronicles 1, 10 through 12, it says, give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead these people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? God said to Solomon, since this is your heart and desire, and you have not asked for wealth, possessions, or honor, nor for the death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge I'll give to you. And I will also give you wealth, possessions, honor, such as no king who was before you and none after you will ever have. So Solomon's first order of business was like, in order for me to get this done, I need God, right? So to become a wise builder, you have to have that desire, right? What does God desire to do to help his people? So Solomon goes and he brings this offering at the tent of the meetings, I think 1,000 bulls, and he says, Lord, here's my offering. I need you to begin this building. If anything's going to get done, I'm going to have you. I'm going to have your wisdom, right? He could ask for anything the scripture said, but he asked for the wisdom of God to govern his people. So that linked him, right? That was the shortest distance between two points, right? That's that straight line, like from A to B. He said, wait up, I could go this way, I could go this way, go this way. See, a lot of us, we want possessions, right? A lot of us, we want our jobs back, or we want physical things or relationship things, and we're kind of bypassing God. But Solomon knew that in order for him to be successful is that he had to link up with God and have the heart of God in order to accomplish, right? Amen. Amen. So a wise builder desires to have God. So now he's linked up with God, and God's seen his heart, right? So first of all, we gotta get our hearts right, right? We gotta align. How many of you ever heard that you want to be in the will of God, right? That gets thrown around all the time, right? It has to be in the will of God if it's for the will of God, right? So right here in his own words, he says, it's not a mystery. The will of my heart, my will is to help people, right? To help my people. So Solomon linked up, so he's able to be on God's side. So now all these things are starting to flow. His honor, his possessions. So as he continues to build, he has God on our side. Amen. So the second one would be a wise builder doesn't build alone. Doesn't build alone. 1 Kings 5, 7 through 9. Solomon sends a message to King Hiram. And verse 7, it reads, when Hiram heard Solomon's message, he was greatly pleased and said, praise be to the Lord today, for he has given David a wise son to rule over the great nation. So Hiram sent word to Solomon, I have received the message you have sent me, and I will do all you want in providing the cedar and the juniper logs. My men will haul them down to Lebanon in the Mediterranean Sea, and I will float them on rafts by sea to the place you specify. There I will separate them, and you can take them away. And you are to grant my wish by providing food for my royal household. Solomon partners up, right? In order to get things done, or in order to implement God's word, we need to get God on our side, right? Get the heart of God. And now we gotta team up with others, right? It's not alone. It's not something we could do alone. So he runs to Hiram. King Hiram had a relationship with his father, and he has helped his father in the past, but now he's calling upon another brother for help, right? He's for supplies. So it's a great thing when you're building for God and you're being a doer of the word, is that you don't do it alone. You have to get others to come alongside you, and what one brother has, you might not have, right? And what you have, you might be able to bless your brothers with, amen? So like there's some people, amen, this is gonna give God some glory. On another hand, like, man, my wife's a great prayer warrior, right? You know, my wife's a great prayer warrior. I need to get with her because I can learn how to pray better, right? You know, I gotta link up like Solomon did, right? You know, Brother Art, he's in his word, right? Man, that guy's he knows his word back and forth, right? I gotta get with Brother Art because I need to get some tips on how he studies the word, because man, he loves that word, right? So I gotta get some a little bar. I gotta get with Pastor Nelson right here, because Pastor Nelson, man, he worships the socks off his place. And I gotta be a worshiper, right? So it's important that we don't do it alone, because we benefit when we start interacting with others, right? Because you know what? The devil, he wants us to be competitors and not co-laborers. The Lord calls us to co-labor, right? To rely on one another and not to like have these things between the body of Christ, right? But the devil comes and says, you know what? Nah, like, you know, I want you to compete. I want to see who does better, right? But God's like, nah. This is not how it works. You know, we work together. The strengths of others, right? We unite, and we, you know, we're all one body. We all have gifts, and we all have. Oh, I want to give a testimony, Brother Ronnie, right there. I don't know if he's awake right there, but Brother Ronnie, he prayed for me, right? He prayed for me, and out of his mouth, this most incredible prayer came out, right? So many times we think, I want to get so-and-so to pray for me because they pray good, you know? Right? I want so-and-so to pray. I'm going to wait for the pastor to pray for me, right? No, I got Brother Ronnie, and the Lord gave the most awesome prayer right there in that doorway because everybody has something to give. Amen. Thank you for that prayer, Brother Ronnie back there. Thank you. Amen. So a wise builder does not build alone. So I encourage you right now. If you're trying to do it alone, you ain't being a wise builder. So third will be a wise builder has a mentor. Amen. Shout out to all the mentors out there and the mentees. In 1 Chronicles 28, 10 through 11, it reads, consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build the house as a sanctuary. Be strong and do the work. Be strong and do the work. Right now, the Lord wants you to be strong and do the work, right? Mentors say, be strong and do the work. Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the portico of the temple and its building, its storeroom, and its upper parts and inner rooms and its place of atonement. Be strong and do the work. See, mentors, they keep you on your toes, right? Mentors kind of make you a little bit uncomfortable because they're kind of pushy, right? Ah, man, stop calling me, you know? Like, hey, did you read that book? Did you read through 1 John yet? Oh, man, I don't want to answer the phone. I haven't done it yet, right? So a mentor kind of keeps you on your toes, keeps you like, man, there's sometimes when my mentor calls, I'm like, man, I think I was telling my wife yesterday, he called. I didn't do what I was supposed to be going to do. Should I call him today or wait till tomorrow? I called him, but he didn't answer. Praise the Lord. He didn't answer, so I left him a text and voicemail. But yeah, we have to have a mentor because a mentor is worth his weight in gold because David had the plans, right? He lived his whole life preparing himself, and God, it said that God supernaturally gave him the plans to build the temple, right? To how to conduct the service, how to like set out the bread and all the structure, not only the building, but David had all the plans on how to conduct Jerusalem, right? The temple of God. And now he's allowing David to come in and speak into his life. I know David is his father, right? It's easy because, oh yeah, it's his dad. But in the church we have a lot of spiritual fathers, right? You know, spiritual fathers, you don't have to be blood related, you know. So I encourage everyone just to get linked up. I want to talk a little bit about the roles, right? The Solomons and the Davids, right? If you've been attending church for a long time, and you know the word and you've been studying, you've been doing this church thing for many years. You have something to give. You know, you're like the Davids out there. And I want to let you know that this church is always being blessed with new people. And there's a lot of Solomons out there, right? There's a lot of Solomons out there. So I encourage, people to link up, right? People to link up and people to work with one another. So if you have the plans, right? See, wait, hold on. David knew how to build the temple. I know how to build the temple. David knew how to serve the Lord. I know how to serve the Lord. If I built that temple, I could serve the Lord, right? I could do it. I'm not going to tell him, though. I don't want to tell Solomon, though. I don't want to tell Solomon, right? That's how we kind of do if we withhold, right? If we have a lot to pour out, what are we doing with it, right? If we have the plans, right? It says he had the plans. He had the plans for everything. He had the plans to where to put the Holy of Holies, to how to conduct the services. And he had the plans. So I encourage you, Davids out there, the ones that know and have been following the Lord, it's time to release the plans onto the Solomons. Amen? Amen. Glory be to God. And my last point is a wise builder is a doer of the word. So I want to bring you back full circle and just give you a little bit of how to start exercising the doing, because it's hard to just do the word with no no equipping and no strategy, right? So we're learning the strategy right here through Solomon's life. 1 Kings 6, 11 through 14 reads, "The word of God came to Solomon, and as for the temple you are building, if you follow my decrees, observe my laws, and keep all the commandments and obey them, I will fulfill through you the promise I gave to David your father. And I will live among the Israelites and not abandon my people of Israel." So Solomon built the temple and completed it. Right? He will not abandon you. And Solomon built the temple and completed it. How many of us struggle on starting something but not being able to finish something, right? You know, we start up something, a ministry. I want to read through the Bible, and I'm going strong, and I hit numbers, man. Numbers always is like in the mud, man. I got to numbers, man, and it was hard to walk through that book, right? Right there is like, man, how do you get through this book, you know? But if you follow the Lord, right? He followed it, right? It says follow, observe, keep, and obey. Right, that's a lot of things, right? That's a lot going on in doing the word of God. Follow, observe, keep, and obey. It's a lot of things going on right there. But when you're able to implement God's word and you have all these resources propelling you, you start beginning to get things done, because ultimately Solomon completed the work that God gave him. Amen. So I want everyone today to be encouraged. You know, I hope you guys were blessed by just getting a little bit of stuff, some principles from Solomon's life. Amen. He completed it. Lord, the Lord wants you to start completing it. The Lord wants you to start being a doer, right? You know, the enemy wants you just to be a hearer. You can hear this word all day, but if you don't do it, he's fine with that. So God wants you to become a doer of the word. Amen. So as the worship team comes up, I just wanna give an opportunity for you know, anybody that has been touched by this word, that wants to begin this process, right? That wants to that is tired of just hearing, right? Tired of just, man, I've been hearing all these great messages, but now I want to start you know, doing more, you know, putting the words into practice. You know, you might be doing it, but you want to even get better, right? You might be kind of barely doing some, but you know what? Like, these are the areas where I kind of just been putting to the side, and you know, today I wanna become a wise builder. So if that's you, by a show of hands, I'll just would like to pray for you. So if you could, amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Yes. With the hands raised, I'd just like to ask you to stand up. Stand up. I want to pray a prayer of strength and equipping through God's word. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this powerful sermon that you preach, God, that you loved us so much that you came down, Lord, and stood on that hillside and poured your word out upon your people, Lord. To this day, Lord, we can still refer back to it, Lord, and it still has the same power, Lord. It still has the same piercing, Lord, through the marrow, Lord, through our bones, through our hearts, Lord. Lord, today we are tired of being a hearer of the word, Lord. We want to stand confident, Lord, and we want to be assured through your word and be a wise builder, Lord. So when the storms hit, Lord, our foundations don't slide anymore. We want to live on that rock, Lord. We want to live in the peace and comfort that only you could provide for us. Lord, I thank you, Lord, today for your word, Lord. I thank you for Solomon and David, that they just are still being used, Lord. Still being used to change lives, Lord. That's amazing, Lord. Your word is awesome, Lord. Your word is never changing. You are so faithful, God. So today, Lord, I ask that you just continue to bless your people. I ask that you continue just to pour out your word upon them, pour out your spirit upon them. I ask that you build divine meetings amongst them, godly connections in your house, God. I thank you, Lord, for just the ability to present your word today, Lord. And I ask that seed just takes root, God. It's that perfect greenhouse, that perfect environment for this word, this seed to sprout, to become a mighty oak, Lord. I pray that roots grow deep from this word, Lord. I ask that people be encouraged, Lord, that people start doing things that they haven't been doing before they got here, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, and I want to give you the honor today and you the glory, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's still do some worship. Amen. Let's still do some worship.